Grab a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, we're rolling on in the summer of love. And it's not really surprising that the Bible says a lot about love. It's not even a surprise that there's this entire chapter that we call the love chapter. But here's something that may surprise you. The most common relationship wrecker is not anger, impatience, apathy, or even a lack of kindness. The number one relationship wrecker is jealousy. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is not jealous. You see, it's virtually impossible to be loving and jealous at the same time. And here's the really strange thing. In our culture, in our society, we think they go together. We somehow, in our twisted ways, we somehow think that jealousy proves that we love. Write this down. Jealousy is resenting God's goodness to others and ignoring God's goodness to me. Jealousy is resenting God's goodness to others and it is ignoring God's goodness to me. Now, check this out as well. The Bible says that jealousy is behind most other sins. The Bible says in James 3:16, "For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind." See, people that are jealous and self-centered are going to be evil, and they're going to bring forth that evil in all different shapes and sizes. Folks, that's heavy duty. Jealousy is behind most all of our sins. So much of our sin can be traced to jealousy and selfishness. Now, besides leading to other sins, jealousy can lead to other problems as well. In the Old Testament, in Ecclesiastes 4:4, the Bible says, "Then I observed that most people are motivated to success because they envy their neighbors. But this too is meaningless, like chasing the wind." You know what he's saying? He's saying all of our motives are messed up. Even our motive to succeed is many times backed by envy. We become workaholics, and we're motivated because of jealousy. And here's another truth. Jealousy will destroy us from the inside out. Proverbs 14:30 says, "A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body, and jealousy is like cancer in the bones." It can literally make us physically ill. And listen, it's really not worth it. Because jealousy destroys friendships, causes sibling rivalry, wrecks businesses, ruins neighborhoods, and even causes violence and nations to go to war. Jealousy is a super destructive sin. Now, there is an antidote to jealousy. The antidote to jealousy is love. Now, here's a true statement that we can learn from. Sometimes you learn what to do by looking at what not to do. So Jesus tells this amazing story. Look at this in Matthew 20, verse 1. Jesus tells this amazing story to teach us what not to do so that we can learn what to do. He said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like the landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. And he agreed to pay the normal daily wage and sent them out to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day, and so they went to work in the vineyard. At noon, and again at 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. At 5 o'clock that afternoon, he was in town again and saw some more people standing around, and he asked them, 'Why haven't you been working today?' And they replied, 'Because no one hired us.' And the landowner told them, 'Then go out and join the others in my vineyard.' Then that evening, he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them, beginning with the last workers first. And when those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wage. When those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more." That's a big word right there, assume. "They assumed they would receive more, but they too were paid a day's wage. And when they received their pay, they protested to the owner. Those people worked only 1 hour, and yet you paid them just as much as you paid us who worked all day in the scorching heat. And he answered one of them, "Friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I'm kind to others? So those who are last now will be first then, and those who are first will be last." Wow. You know, I'm guessing that when we read this story that Jesus told, we think, totally unfair. That's unfair. But the truth is, the workers got exactly what they contracted. What made them upset was that other people were given what they felt they didn't deserve. See, it wasn't about what they received, it was about what the others got. They got jealous. So we learned 5 antidotes to jealousy from Jesus' story. If you want to get jealousy out of your life, you must stop comparing yourself to others. In fact, comparison is at the very root of most, if not all, jealousy. Comparison was the first mistake of the laborers in the story. The workers who put in a full day immediately compared themselves to those who arrived later. Look at what they're getting, so we're going to get more. We deserve more, we ought to get more. They didn't focus on what they contracted for, they focused on others. See, the Bible tells us many times to never compare ourselves to anybody else. The Bible says that it's foolish and unwise to compare yourself to others. Don't compare the way you look. Don't compare how much you earn. Don't compare your intelligence. Don't compare your kids. Don't compare your husband or wife. And see, you should not compare yourself to another because you are unique. God made you special. There's nobody like you. He made the mold of you and then he broke it. You can't be compared to anybody else. You shouldn't compare yourself to another because you're unique. And comparison always leads to 2 sins. Comparison always leads to pride and or jealousy. When you start comparing, you're going to think one of 2 things. If you compare yourself to another human being, you're going to think one of 2 things. Either you're going to think I'm better than them, or they're better than me. And it's almost always going to lead to pride or jealousy. Now, here's something that I found to be true. Many times we're jealous of people because we don't know their story. We don't know their background. We don't know their struggles, their sacrifices, their pain. If we knew their story, we probably wouldn't want their life or their stuff. And trust me, everybody has a story. Many times what we see as beautiful or successful is really failure in God's accounting. Jealousy comes to the surface when we don't know people intimately. We see success and maybe strength from a distance. But when we get up close, we can see who they really are. And we see their pain and their hang-ups and their faults and their problems. Check this out. This is hard for me to remember. It's something I learned a long time ago, but it's still hard for me to remember. Okay, nobody is as cool as they appear. Nobody has it all together. Nobody's as happy as they seem. Nobody's as carefree as they seem. Nobody's successful as they appear. Because everybody has hidden hurts. And we never know about those until we get up close. Here's a verse that we should consider here, Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, You must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. Do you know the part of that verse that we never focus on? We never focus on the turn from your selfish ways. Everybody has burdens to bear. Everybody has a cross to bear. Now check this out. God has tailor-made you for your cross. God has tailor-made your cross for you. It's just right for you. The first antidote for jealousy is get to know people and then stop comparing yourself to them. Here's the second thing you have to do. You have to start enjoying God's grace to other people. If we're going to overcome jealousy in our lives, we have to begin to enjoy God's grace as it's dispersed to other people. We must learn to enjoy seeing God bless somebody else. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, and if you'll recognize today, you'll admit this. This has not really come naturally. It is a learned skill. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 12:15, "Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who are weep." With those who weep. Can I tell you that most of us, for most of us, the second half of the verse is easier than the first half? It's easier to commiserate with somebody who's hurting than it is to be happy with somebody who's killing it. Because we don't handle the success of others well. And the reason we don't handle their success well is because we're threatened by it. And we resent it. And we think that life is some big giant pie and that God should divide it up equally. Well, listen, God has enough pie, enough blessing to go around. God has enough grace to go around. And here's what we have to understand. God chooses how it is dispensed. God chooses how he dispenses his grace. He doesn't bless us all in the same ways. So we must learn to rejoice with those whom God is blessing. Now here's our deal, all right? Because jealousy is such an inward thing, is it really a hidden sin? Because it's inward, because it's hidden, we don't think it's that big a deal. But in truth, it's very destructive, and it cannot coexist with love. It steals our joy, it is destructive, it is mean, it destroys relationships, it keeps us from entering into another person's joy, and then we miss out on a lot of joy in life because we refuse to rejoice with others. When we live that way, that makes us miserable. When we live that way, we miss out on so much joy in the world. And folks, here's the thing. Jealousy is a choice. Just like love is a choice, jealousy is a choice. We can choose to rejoice or we can choose to resent. If we learn to rejoice in God's goodness dispensed to others, we will be a lot happier. Here's the third thing you have to do. You have to be grateful for what you have. You have to learn to rejoice with people who God is blessing, and then you have to be grateful for what you have. Instead of focusing on what you don't have or what somebody else has, be grateful for what you do have. Now again, this is another trait that is learned. It doesn't come naturally to me. It probably does not come naturally to you. Again, Paul writes in Philippians 4:11, "Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have." It is a learned skill. He learned to be content. Paul learned to be content. It was a learning process, and it was a learning experience. See, so instead of comparing and complaining, like the workers in Jesus' story, we realize that we would have nothing without God and his goodness and what he's given to us. Again, Paul's writing, 1 Corinthians 4:7, he says, "For what gives you the right to make such a judgment? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is from God, why boast as though it were not a gift?" See, jealousy is based on a myth. And the myth is, I have to have more to be happy. I must have something that I don't have in order to be happy. And so we get focused on others, and we get focused on what we don't have. When we look at others, and we'll even wonder, why them? What did they do to deserve that? Don't raise your hand, don't say anything out loud, but how many of you have ever looked at somebody and said, God, why'd you bless them with that? I'd be a much better steward with that than they are. What did they do to deserve that? I deserve that. And listen, here's the deal. We all struggle with jealousy. It's difficult to admit. And we don't like to admit it because it's an ugly emotion. And the truth is, when we're jealous, we want people to fail. You want them to fall on their face. Now, you don't tell anybody else, but it makes your day when they have a bad day. This is nothing new, but I share it again. There are some sports teams that I despise. I hate the Dodgers. I do. Now, I'm not heartless, though, because I feel bad about what this storied franchise is going through with the bozos that own them. I don't take any joy at all in what they're going through as a franchise, because I respect the tradition and the value of the Dodgers. They're a great franchise, always have been until like 2 years ago. I don't take any joy in that part, but on the field, I hate them with a passion. I pray that they never, ever win another game. I hate the Pittsburgh Steelers. Anybody that's not from Western Pennsylvania, you know, Eastern Ohio, you're rooting for the Steelers. You just jumped on the bandwagon like all my cowboy fan friends. All right, I hate the Steelers. You know what the thing about the Dodgers and the Steelers? My hatred for them, it's based on jealousy. See, I can admit that. When you grow up in San Diego as a Padres fan and the Dodgers just beat your brains out year after year after year, go to, you know, championship games and World Series and all this stuff, you start to hate them. It's just true. I hate the Steelers because they got 6 and we only got 5. And we'd have 2 more if we could have beat them 2 more times. It's all based on jealousy. See, and that's a frivolous part of life, so I can easily admit that. I'm not going to admit to you the other places in my life where I'm jealous. Jealousy is a part of our society. We're inundated with it. And when we have to admit that we're jealous, we're admitting that we feel inadequate. I have to admit that I didn't get what I want. If we could just be grateful for what we have, we could solve some of that jealousy. Ecclesiastes 6:9 says, enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. Just dreaming about nice things is meaningless. It's like chasing the wind. Now check it out. I already have more than I deserve. God has already blessed me way beyond what I deserve. And please understand, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have goals. I'm not saying that you shouldn't work hard to reach your goals. That's not jealousy. Jealousy is when you resent somebody who already has achieved your desire, your dream, your goal. Stop comparing. Start enjoying the success of others. Be happy with what you have. And then the fourth antidote for jealousy is trust God when life seems unfair. Here's a news flash for you today. Life is not fair. When life is not fair, when God is blessing somebody in a way that he's not blessing you, relax and trust him. God knows what's going on. God knows what is best. We must trust God when life seems unfair. Now, here's a little test. Here's a little marker. You know that you're struggling with jealousy when you use phrases like, it's not fair. Why them? Why not me? When you say things like, I work just as hard as they do. You know you're struggling with jealousy when you look at somebody else and say, how did they get that? I'm a committed Christian. I tithe. I serve. Maybe if I worked harder. Maybe if I went to church more. See, God knows exactly what each one of us needs. God knows the hurt, the pain, and the blessing that each one of us can handle. And we have to learn to trust him in that. In Jesus' story, the workers thought they were treated unfairly. But they got exactly what they were promised. But they thought it was unfair because they thought they were better than them. Look back at verse 12. Those people worked only 1 hour, and you've paid them just as much as you paid us who worked all day in the scorching heat. You notice how they had to throw that on at the end? It's really hot out here too. They thought they were better than them because they worked all day in the heat. I want you to notice the owner's reply in the next verse. And by the way, in the story, the owner represents God. Verse 13, he answered one of them, friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I'm kind to others? All right, now this is difficult, but we have to come clean. The bottom line of jealousy is, when we are jealous, we're in a battle with God. See, that's the bottom line. When we are jealous of other people, we are in a battle with God. Our problem is not really with the other person. Our problem is really with God. We doubt God's goodness in our lives. We resent God blessing somebody else. We accuse God of being unfair. We don't think that God has our best interest at heart. When we live with jealousy, our problem is with God. Because we think that God is playing favorites. And we'll even build this case against God. Listen, the truth is God loves you just as much as he loves anybody else. God loves you unconditionally. We must learn to trust him. The problem with jealousy is that we have forgotten how much God loves us. Jealousy is our emotional expression of our belief that God does not love us. Jealousy is rooted in our doubt of God. You know what that means? To overcome jealousy, we have to fall in love with Jesus again. If you really want to overcome jealousy in your life, if I want to overcome jealousy in my life, I have to fall in love with Jesus again, and I have to remember what he's done for me. I have to acknowledge what he's done for me. Here's one more. Number 5, stay focused on God's plan for you. If you want to overcome jealousy, you have to stay focused on God's plan for you. God has a plan for each one of us. But we get distracted from God's plan when we get focused on what's going on in other people's lives. We have to get focused and we have to stay focused on God's plan for our life. Now, there's a simple phrase in this story that the owner says to those who are grumbling and griping and who didn't get what they deserved. It's in verse 14. He says, take your money and go. You know what he's saying to those? What he's saying to those of us who can't get over jealousy? You know what he's saying? He's saying, get a life. Modern translation of take your money and go is get a life. It's time to move on. It's time to take your next step. Get over it. Get on with what I've called you to do. And see, here's our deal. We can get stuck. We can get stuck in the past. I mean, let's be honest. Some of you are still jealous of the prom queen. It was 30 years ago. And God is saying to us, get a life. Move on. We get so stuck looking at what happened or didn't happen that we can't see God's plan for our life. God has an incredible plan for your life today. Why should we let jealousy keep us from God's plan? Why should we let jealousy keep us from God's best? The writer of Hebrews says this in chapter 12, verse 1, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down." Would you agree that jealousy is a weight that could slow you down? Strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Would you agree that jealousy is a sin that can trip you up? "And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." God has a particular race for each one of us. God has a unique plan for each one of us. God has shaped you. He has made you unique for a unique purpose. But you can't focus on that when you're preoccupied with jealousy. Now check this out. When you get focused on the race that God has for you, when you really get focused on what it is that God has called you to do, you don't have time to be jealous anymore. You're so caught up in what God is doing and what He wants to do in you and through you that you don't have time to be jealous. You can get focused because you're living for His approval, not the approval of somebody else. And Jesus ends the story with the shocking moral that all of us, most of us know. "So those who are last now will be first then, and those who are first will be last." Now, He's talking about heaven. Jesus says that when we get to heaven, the tables will be turned. And here's His point. Nothing that we are jealous of on this earth is going to matter in heaven. None of it. Nothing that we are jealous of on this earth is going to matter in heaven. None of them. The things that we envy most will not matter in heaven. Not success, not wealth, not talent, not beauty, not fame, not accomplishment. None of the things that we envy most on this side of eternity are going to matter one bit in heaven. And when we get to heaven, God is going to evaluate us based on love. How much did we love Jesus? How much did we love other people? If you want to be great, then you have to learn to love and to serve. And when you get busy loving God and loving others and living out God's calling on your life, you don't have time to be jealous. Love is not jealous. God loves you, and His love never changes, and He is for you. He's for you. Would you pray with me? Father God, we are amazed that You have saved us, that You have called us, that You have blessed us, that You have equipped us with everything that we need to live out Your will in our lives. And Father, we pray that we could get focused on that today. Father, we know that if we could focus on Your goodness to us, Your grace to us, Your plan for us, that we won't even have time to live with any jealousy. And so, Father, our prayer is the same, that You would teach us to love. That You would teach us to love as Jesus loves. That you would teach us to love You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and body. That You would teach us to love our neighbors, to love the people that we come in contact with, everything that we have, as much as we love ourselves. And our prayer, Father, is that You would just cleanse us, that You would flush jealousy out of us today. And we pray that You would do it for Your honor and for Your glory and for Your kingdom. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.